One of my life verses is, I have found more joy along the path of thy instruction than any kind of wealth. But I am not going to find that joy unless I am willing to be instructed.
Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. We have a group discussion today. Let's get started.
We as Christians are living in a secular society. How does the Christian mind go about processing the garbage, the intellectual garbage that is being thrown at us? I think of students in the classroom, for example. Gary, you must have gone through some of this in your own training. How do you process lies?
Fortunately for me, I was raised in a Christian home, and by that I mean a home in which the Bible was not just taught, but lived. And I had excellent models for what it meant to love the Lord and to have a close walk with Him. Also, having gone to a Christian college and seminary, I had a good, solid, firm base. Now, some listeners might say, well, I was not raised in a Christian home and I did not go to Bible college. I'm not a seminary graduate. Well, there's still hope. I think that the foundation is what is important, regardless of where that foundation is obtained. But our foundation, our root system, to provide a benchmark, a standard, Elizabeth, to use your phrase, a ruler, a straight edge, against which to measure things. And I think as we know truth, as we are growing in truth, and by know truth, I'm not just referring to left-brain, cerebral knowledge, acquisition of facts. I'm talking about interacting with the truth. The difference, if you will, between knowing the written word and having a personal relationship with the living word, Jesus Christ. I've met some folks who were knowledgeable in the written word, but at times did not reflect the warmth and the love and the character of the living word, again, our Lord Jesus Christ. So I think, first of all, having a foundation, which means knowing certain truths, basics, information of who God is and how God's chosen to reveal Himself to us, what it means to be made in His image, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is we've not touched on much during our time together, but is so critical in my life in terms of becoming conformed to Christ and how the Spirit works in our mind to reveal Christ to us, to guide us into all truth.
But the Holy Spirit does not work in a vacuum. We have to give Him something to work with.
Well, first of all, I surrender my mind to Him, and I pray for His guidance, and then I've got to be open. I have to open my mind to His correction and His purifying. It takes a lot of that every day.
Elizabeth, how do you surrender? And for you, what is involved in that?
This is a simple act, Gary, of just coming to God at the beginning of a task specifically. I can't say that I do this very often until I'm aware of the fact that here's a case where I have to use my mind if I'm preparing a talk or writing a book. I come to the Lord and say, I lay before You this task, Lord. Take my mind, use my thoughts, correct my thinking, purify my desires, and help me to write or speak what You want me to do.
I have a similar experience. This is amazing because each morning I begin the day this way with Romans 12, 1 and 2. I give God my body, and then I present my mind to Him and my will, and worship Him, but particularly in writing, speaking, and answering the telephone. People phone. You need a mind that God is guiding. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit can do if you give Him something to work with.
And while somebody's talking on the phone, you can be saying, Lord, what am I to say to this impossible problem?
And the Holy Spirit does give to us guidance from His Word. No question about that. Gary?
Part of the problem I think that many listeners might struggle with, that I know I have, all of us might have, is that because the answers are not always immediate, because the answers are not always direct, oftentimes people feel that, well, what works for Warren, Elizabeth, and Gary has not worked for me.
But that's the difference between principles and formulas, is it not?
Exactly. The idea again of obedience we talked about, of being faithful, of being persistent. And as I choose to focus on truth, as I choose to dwell on truth, as I choose to take the experience of what I would hear in a university setting and from people who are not believers, some who are vehemently opposed to the claims of Christ, and to weigh those, A, with what I know to be true in the context of the Word, but secondly, what the Holy Spirit alerts me to, you know, to ask questions. And that also is part of the process of building discernment. I think it's important that we allow God to help us learn how to ask good questions and wise questions and to appropriately question quote-unquote authority. A person who may be an authority in one discipline may be ignorant, may know nothing about another discipline and clearly about the deeper things of ultimate reality, which is God, His love for us, the cross.
One of the things that I notice and am always surprised and even appalled by now in the younger minds that I have to confront is what seems to me to be a basic premise of skepticism. When I was 18 years old, I cannot even imagine going up to an authority like you, a speaker in chapel, or even a professor, and saying, I disagree with what you say. I can certainly imagine asking all kinds of questions, and I did. But I cannot imagine just starting from the assumption, you're wrong. I mean, that's what you're saying is crazy. You're an authority. You're supposed to know something more than I do about it. And I think my basic attitude, thank God, maybe this is a gift of grace, has always been an empty cup. Teach me. Show me. I want to know the truth about this. And one of my life verses is, I have found more joy along the path of thy instruction than any kind of wealth. But I am not going to find that joy unless I am willing to be instructed. And I expect that that pathway is a daily pathway. And I'm going to be instructed by Warren Wiersbe and by Gary Oliver, by every book that I pick up. I think, to go back to the secular question, God can speak to me through the label on a medicine bottle if he wants to.
That's right.
He can speak to me from a billboard. He can give me a message that the person who made that billboard had no intention of getting across. He teaches us a lot of things just negatively by the lies that we see. But I want to see Christians open their minds to the Holy Spirit of God in a question and answer period instead of people instantly leaping at the hard case, the exception, but surely God doesn't mean this. I mean, for example, you get up there and you read the first condition of discipleship. Give up your right to yourself. People's immediate reaction, generally speaking, is that doesn't apply here. It couldn't possibly mean this. This is too negative. I don't like this. Surely I'm not supposed to be putting myself down. I want to say, would you wait a minute and ask yourself, what is God saying to me? In what way does he want to transform my mind through this hard saying of Jesus?
Of course, there is this philosophy today. There are two philosophies. One is, of course, relativism. Truth is something relative.
Truth for you, how about that? Maybe that's true for you, but...
That's right. Well, this is their approach.
Yes. And situation ethics.
There are
no absolutes.
I was in a situation some time ago where a man was talking about, you know, we have no absolutes, but he had just talked about right and wrong and so forth. I just raised my hand. I said, I'm confused. You say there are no absolutes, but you just... That statement itself is an absolute, you know, and it was a little bit embarrassing. The second thing is we live in a pluralistic society, and therefore you have every right to believe whatever you want to believe, even if it's dead wrong, even if it's going to end up with you dying and going to hell. You can believe whatever you want to believe, and I'll be tolerant of it. Well, of course, we as Christians do love one another, and we love those who don't agree with us. Is not this attitude creeping into people's minds?
You know, this brings us back to one of the dimensions of the mind that God's given us, and that's the ability to discern. You mentioned earlier television and commercials, and I think it's interesting in magazines that people who have no idea, who are not authorities on a product, but if they are famous, if they are famous, they become an authority, and you buy this because someone who knows absolutely nothing about a product and may never have used it, because
it's
their
a good
face,
home run record,
exactly, their name or their face appears.
That's the halo effect.
Yes, and discerning authority. And discerning the people that that we can listen to and hear. And again, that comes with what we plant in our mind. In Philippians chapter 4, finally, brethren, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good repute, anything excellent, worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. I think we could use the metaphor here of a farmer planting seeds. I lived in Nebraska for about 10 years, and I had a chance to become exposed to farmers. My wife's father is a corn farmer, and every spring they go out and cultivate and till the soil. They plant seeds. Sometimes when they don't plant a field, you'll have what you will call volunteer corn. It will be corn that didn't come up the year it was planted, but a year or 2 years later. But I've never met a farmer who tried to live on a crop of volunteer corn. Planting good seed, but where do we get the good seed at, Elizabeth? The kinds of people that we can listen to that can feed us and be authorities, and there are so many voices, and I find especially young people today, in some cases, take as authorities those who are just the exact opposite. So being around, associating with people who don't just name the name of Jesus, but you can tell by their life, have heart knowledge as well as head knowledge, who love the Lord, and then we can be receptive to what God would teach them through us.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.